Fair Foundation Baptist Church. Everybody, please find your seats and grab a hymn book. First song we're going to sing is song 411. Song 411. Song 411. Hold the fort. 411. On the first. Ho, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. See the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. See the glorious banner waving, hear the trumpet blow. In our leader's name we'll triumph over every foe. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals best. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. Fierce and long the battle's rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander, cheer my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. All right, great singing, Brother Stephen. Can you please open us up with a word of prayer? Amen. All right, next song is going to be song 402. Song 402 in your hymn books. Song 402. 402, our best, on the first. Hear ye the master's call, give me thy best. For be it great or small, that is his test. Do then the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of men, but for the Lord. Every work for Jesus will be blessed, but he asks from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all. Wait not for men to laud, heed not their slight. Winning the smile of God brings his delight. Aiding the good and true, Negron blessed. All that we think or do before the best. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. But but he asks from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all. All right, good singing. Now we're going to have some announcements.
All right, welcome to Shure Foundation Baptist Church Sunday morning service. And if you need a bulletin, please raise your hand and usher will bring one to you. And in case you're wondering, that's a Chinese traditional formal wear, okay? So, you know, I'm just trying to blend into my own nation. So, anyway, the verse of the week is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, this verse, you know, teaches the importance of the assembly or the gathering of the believers. So we should exhort people to come to church. I'm thankful for you to, you know, I'm thankful that you guys show up today, even though we don't have AC. But, you know, if you want to move around to where the fan is, feel free to do that. Feel free to, you know, stand up and sit and just stand next to the fan just to keep yourself cool. But, yeah, thanks for coming today. And the AC should be fixed this coming Wednesday morning, okay? So pray that the process will go will be smooth. And let's look at the inside page. Please give us a follow on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, and X. We have Sunday morning service at 11, Sunday afternoon service at 4, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. And this Wednesday, we'll be going through the majority of Acts 15, talking about the Jerusalem Council. Okay, that's a famous council that the Catholics like to use, but we'll be talking about that this coming Wednesday. Also, we have Saturday morning soul winning locally at 10:30 and Sunday afternoon soul winning at 1:30 p.m. And, you know, yesterday, several guys went to La Paz, small town soul winning. We had 8 salvations. Praise the Lord for that. And then this afternoon, we'll have men's preaching night. And I believe since Brother Brad couldn't make it, so Dallas couldn't preach today. So that will bring us to, I think, 3 preachers. So you guys can have 15 minutes. So we'll maybe have a shorter service this afternoon. So 15 minutes each. But you don't have to use the full 15 minutes, but you have up to 15 minutes. And no heresies, all right? So also, we'll have our annual fall fellowship at a local park on October 3rd. So please save the day. So we'll probably meet at a local park around 4:30, and you can play volleyball, basketball. Although the past 2 picnic, you know, I injured my leg, so I might need to do something else because with the Chinese gene, they're not super athletes, you know. But anyway, but save the day for the annual fall fellowship. And then this coming Saturday, we are going to Detroit, but we'll still have a local soul winning time here. So Detroit soul winning detail is on godresource.com. So please RSVP at godresource and or sfbcindy at gmail.com. Because if you don't RSVP, you get unlimited lettuce. Okay? No, I'm kidding. But lunch is at a deep dish Detroit pizza place. So it should be cool. Lunch will be provided. Breakfast will be on your own. So again, please RSVP so I know how many pizza to order, because that, you know, does help me. You know, I don't just throw out the RSVP rule just for nothing. Also, Notre Dame is on September 19th and the 26th. We are going to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on October 10th. The schedule for the Pittsburgh event is also on godresource.com. So it's about, I think, 6-hour drive from here. So plan your travel. I'll be driving back Saturday to be back here on Sunday. But if you are staying for that Sunday for the Pittsburgh, there's a local church there on the God Resource for you to check out. I know Brother Jerry will be going to that church on Sunday, so you can coordinate with him. Also, Evansville is October 31st, and Winter Wonderland is on December 26th. So please join us for our soul winning events. Also, I have posted the September Sunday afternoon preaching schedule for you to see. And then tithe and offerings is also for you to see. Please stay faithful in your tithe and offerings. And on the back, you can see the birthdays and the anniversaries for the month of September. And if your dates are not on there, please let me know. Again, lastly, let me just emphasize again, if you are hot or something, feel free to move where the fan is. You know, the AC is down and should be fixed on Wednesday. So feel free to take off your suit or whatever, just like roll up your sleeves, all right? So don't worry about your Sunday best, okay? So anyway, let's sing one more song and then we'll take up the offering.
All right, song number 401, Set My Soul Afire. Song number 401 in your hymn book, Set My Soul Afire. 401. 401 on the first. Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be your witness. Fill me with thy power. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter. Never let me fail. Fill me with thy spirit. Let thy will prevail. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, in my daily life. Far too long I've wandered in this day of strife. Nothing else will matter but to live for thee. I will be your witness as you live in me. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. All right, ushers, please come up. All right, Brother Matt, can you please pray for the offering?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord. Please bless this offering. Let it go further your
Amen.
All right, this morning we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. If anyone needs a Bible, just raise your hand and usher will give one to you. 1 Kings 18. Just follow along, the whole chapter is going to be read. 1 Kings chapter 18, the Bible reads, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all the fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horse and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver the servant to the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee. He shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but of Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I, only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and I will lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullocks which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, where peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. And they cried aloud, and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there riseth a little cloud of the light, of the sea, like a man's hand. He said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass, in the mean while the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Brother Andrew, would you pray us to the service?
Amen. Can you guys hear me all right with all the fans and stuff? All right. So I hope you pay attention to the Bible reading, because in 1 Kings chapter 18, we see the famous story of the Mount Carmel, right, where the prophet Elijah versus 450 prophets of Baal. So the title of the sermon this morning is The Man Behind Mount Carmel. The Man Behind Mount Carmel. Now, specifically in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20 to verse 40, we see the famous story of the Mount Carmel duel between, you know, Elijah versus those false prophets. So let me just give you a summary of this story, okay? So Ahab had forsaken the commandments of the Lord and had followed Balaam. Now Balaam are false gods, demons. And the Lord had sent a famine for over 3 years. And Israel has been pulled between worshiping the true God and the worship of Baal. So Elijah gathered the people and the prophets of Baal together at Mount Carmel and confronted the entire nation of Israel with the question, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. But at first, the people answer him not a word. Okay? So Elijah then proposed a test. So two sacrifices will be prepared, but no fire will be put underneath those sacrifices. And the prophets of Baal will call upon their false gods, and Elijah will call upon the Lord. So Elijah declared this, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people agreed, saying, it is well spoken. So the prophets of Baal went first. From morning until noon, they tried and tried, and they cried, hey, O Baal, hear us. And they leaped upon the altar, and they desperately called upon their God. But the Bible says there was no voice, nor any that answered. So then Elijah began to mock them, you know, saying that maybe he was talking, maybe he was traveling, maybe your God was sleeping, okay, and need to be awakened. So they cried even louder. They even cut themselves, you know, after the manner with knives and lancets until blood gushed out from them. Because, you know, false worship is often associated with cutting themselves, blood, murder, and stuff like, right? So hours, you know, after hour, they you know, continue their dramatic, you know, cutting themselves, leaping, or whatever, until the time of the evening sacrifice. Yet after all their crying, blood, leaping, and praying, the Bible says there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Of course, those false gods didn't really answer them. So then Elijah stepped forward and said to the people, come near unto me. So he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down, and he took 12 stones, he built the altar, and he prepared the sacrifices, and he dug a trench around those sacrifices. Then he commanded them to pour water over the sacrifice, not once, but again and again, until the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench with water, okay? By the way, water is not good with starting fire, okay? So Elijah basically pour water on the sacrifice and fill the trench with water as well. So then Elijah prayed to the Lord, and you know, he did not spend hours screaming, leaping, cutting himself, right? And he simply called upon the Lord, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Then he prayed, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. So he prayed this, and the Lord God answered. The Bible says, then the fire of the Lord fell. The fire consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. The fire even licked up the water that was in the trench. So it's a great miracle. So when Israel saw it, they fell on their face. They cried out, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. So after this, Elijah commanded the prophets of Baal to be taken, saying, let not one of them escape. So those false prophets, they were brought down to the brook Kishon, where judgment was executed upon them. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 40. After this showdown, in verse 40, the Bible says this, and Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. So after this showdown, Elijah commanded for those prophets of Baal to be killed, right? Because they're worshiping false gods. So after Mount Carmel, after the prophets of Baal were destroyed, the Lord sent rain. The Lord finally ended this three-year-long famine. Look at verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, Mount Carmel is arguably one of the most exciting miracles and stories in the Bible, and Elijah boldly stood before the prophets of Baal, right? Himself versus 450 prophets of Baal, and the entire nation of Israel with them, and Elijah showed them who the true God was. And God certainly used the prophet Elijah to perform this incredible miracle. Now, Elijah was who most people would think the man behind Mount Carmel. But he was not the man I want to talk about this morning, okay? The true man behind Mount Carmel was not Elijah, because before Elijah ever got to Mount Carmel, God introduced us to a different man, and that man is often overlooked. That man is not talked about that much, okay? This man didn't give the speech on the mount. This man didn't call fire down from heaven. This man wasn't one of the greatest prophets back in the Old Testament. However, I submit to you that this man is the man behind Mount Carmel. Look at verse number 1, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. 1 Kings 18, verse 1 says this, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year," that's in the third year of the famine, "saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria." Verse number 3, "And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." And most people just read right past Obadiah because he doesn't seem like the main character. But I submit to you this morning that Mount Carmel happened in part because of this seemingly insignificant character named Obadiah. Obadiah was faithful in the place where God had put him. So there are people who stand on Mount Carmel, but there are also people whom God used to get them there. Okay, so this morning, I want to talk about the man behind Mount Carmel, and this man is Obadiah. So point number one this morning is that Obadiah feared God in a wicked environment. Obadiah feared God in a wicked environment. Look at verse number 3, 1 Kings 18, verse 3. "And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house." Now Obadiah, don't miss this phrase, feared the Lord greatly. Now, who was this Obadiah? Obadiah was the governor of King Ahab's house, okay? Now, the Bible records several Obadiahs. This was not the prophet Obadiah that wrote the book of Obadiah. You know, this Obadiah was Ahab's governor, or, you know, he was his steward, right? So, essentially, Obadiah worked for King Ahab. Now, in case you are not familiar with King Ahab, he was an extremely wicked king. In fact, go to 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16. Look at verse number 30. 1 Kings 16, verse 30. The Bible says in 1 Kings 16, verse 30, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." So Obadiah was a wicked king. You know, he did more evil than all the kings before him. And Obadiah also married Jezebel, who was a wicked feminist woman, okay? And that's when they began serving and worshiping Baal. Ahab even built an altar for Baal in Samaria. Look at 1 Kings 16, verse 31. 1 Kings 16, 31. "And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal." Baal is basically the devil, "and worshiped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." Again, emphasize the point that Ahab was a wicked king. He served Baal, he even built up altars and grove for this false god, and he married this wicked woman called Jezebel. Go to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. Look at verse 25. 1 Kings 21, verse 25. 1 Kings 21, verse 25. The Bible says this, verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. So again, Ahab was a wicked king. He sold himself to wickedness, just like, you know, many celebrities nowadays will sell their souls to the devil, literally, right? So the whole point is, Ahab was a wicked, wicked king, and his, when the wife Jezebel was a wicked woman. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18. So my point is, Obadiah didn't have a good boss, okay? He worked in a wicked environment. Yet, the Bible says this about Obadiah. Look at verse number 3 again. 1 Kings 18, verse 3. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Now, nothing in the Bible is incidental, accidental, or coincidental. The Bible made a point to tell us that Obadiah worked for this wicked king, and that he feared the Lord. Not just a little bit, but greatly. Okay? So the natural application is, you can serve God in a wicked environment. And sometimes people make their environment the excuse for not serving God. They will say things like, my coworkers are wicked, my boss is wicked, my family isn't saved, and everyone around me is worldly. Well, the Bible says in Exodus 23, verse 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, right? Just because everyone around you is wicked and worldly, but that doesn't mean you should do evil. We must not follow a multitude to do evil. Just look at Obadiah. Obadiah wasn't just surrounded by wicked people. His boss was Ahab. Jezebel was right there, okay? And Baal worship was common. Yet, the Bible says, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Okay? That means your environment may make faithfulness more difficult, right? But your environment does not determine whether you fear God or not. Amen. Joseph feared God in Egypt, which was a wicked nation, right? Daniel feared God in the Babylonian Empire. And Obadiah feared God in King Ahab's house. That means Christians like you and me can fear God wherever God has placed you guys. So don't give me the excuse that, you know, I work in a secular company and my boss is unsaved. The Bible says Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Don't give me the excuse that everybody at my job talks filthy, so I started talking like them. The Bible says Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Right? Don't give me the excuse that everyone at work takes the name of the Lord in vain. That's why I just go along with it. The Bible says, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Don't give me the excuse that my boss asked me to lie and I didn't want to lose my job. Well, Obadiah was in a way more wicked situation than you guys, okay? Don't give me the excuse that, you know, I only drank alcohol because my wicked coworkers forced me. The Bible says, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse number 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Amen. The only way for you to depart from sin is to have the fear of the Lord, because as Christians, God will chastise you if you sin, right? Because we are His children. God will chastise us, God will punish us, and God might give you a spiritual spanking if you do wrong. And, you know, Obadiah wasn't just a secret believer. He really feared God. Look at verse number 4, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 4. The Bible says this, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Don't miss what he did here. Jezebel was killing God's prophets. Obadiah was saving them. Think about the risk involved. Because Obadiah wasn't just hiding one prophet. He had 100 prophets. Don't miss that. And he didn't just hide them. The Bible says he fed them with bread and water. To me, this requires planning, right? To me, this has continued risk. Because this is not just one single moment of courage. He had to keep doing that. He had to sustain them with food and water. And if you still didn't get it, Jezebel was cutting off the prophets of the Lord. You know, this was not a time when serving God was just unpopular. It could get you killed, yeah. Right? And, you know, Obadiah wasn't just hiding one prophet, two prophets, 10 prophets. The Bible says he took 100 prophets. And where did Obadiah work? In King Ahab's house. He was the governor of his house. He was serving at the very heart of the government whose wife was trying to destroy the prophets that he was protecting. And Obadiah didn't just point them toward the cave, you know, and say, "Good luck, you know, I hope you guys survive," you know. The Bible says he hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. To me, those 100 prophets had to eat, you know, every day or some, you know, because, you know, people cannot go without water for like 3 days. So, you know, at least pretty regularly, right? You know, 100 men need water regularly. You know, every trip could potentially get him killed, right? You know, once he was discovered, if, you know, he got discovered. And just remember the context. What was happening in Israel at that time? There was a famine, right? Ahab himself was traveling throughout the land looking for grass just to keep, you know, the horses and mules alive. Look at verse number 5. 1 Kings 18, verse 5 says this. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, "Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts." So I would think food and water were luxuries. And somehow Obadiah was keeping 100 prophets alive with bread and water. And think about if Jezebel discovered what he was doing. What do you think would happen to him? She was killing the prophets that he was hiding. He wasn't just risking a demotion. You know, Obadiah wasn't just risking, you know, getting written up, okay? He was risking his own life. However, with all these risks, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly by hiding 100 prophets and providing for them. So again, don't give me the excuse that if I take the stand, then people won't like me. While Obadiah risked his life hiding the prophets of the Lord, right? Do not give me the excuse that I'm afraid what my boss might do to me. Obadiah served a king whose wife was literally trying to kill the prophets of the Lord, yet he still feared the Lord greatly. Obadiah put something on the line. He put his, you know, position, livelihood, and his life on the line. You know, Obadiah could have easily said, "I can't get involved. You don't understand where I work. You don't understand the pressure or the stake." But instead, the very position that could have become his excuse is the very position that God used to give him the ability to help those prophets. Think about that. Maybe you're working a factory or working a warehouse where profanity and dirty jokes are common. Maybe you're working an office where there are tons of dishonesty, gossip, backbitings, and stepping on people just to get ahead, right? Maybe you're working sales where you're pressured to exaggerate, mislead customers, or hide the truth just to close the deal. Maybe you work in construction or some kind of trade job where you are mocked because you don't, you know, smoke or drink. Maybe you work in management and somebody above you pressures you to do something dishonest. Maybe you are the only Christian in your workplace. So what kind of environment do you work in? Right? Ask yourself, who is your Ahab? What pressure are you facing? Because I can almost guarantee that your boss is not worse than Ahab. Okay? Your coworkers are not more intimidating than Jezebel. So if Obadiah could be the governor of King Ahab's house, and still fear the Lord greatly, then you can fear God wherever God has placed you. I also want you to notice that Obadiah feared God from his youth. From his youth. Look at verse number 12. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 12 says this. 1 Kings 18:12. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whether I know not. So when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. That's why teaching children the Bible matters. That's why bringing children to church matters. That's why teaching them to pray, to read their Bible, and to take a stand matters. Because you don't know what kind of Ahab's house they may have to stand in someday, right? Because you may never know what kind of Jezebel they may have to resist someday in their life. You may never know what kind of spiritual famine they have to go through, or their generation may go through someday. Keep a place in 1 Kings chapter 18. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Keep a place in 1 Kings 18. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. But the fear of the Lord planted in somebody when they are young can help them for the rest of their life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 14. 2 Timothy 3:14 says this. Here Paul was addressing Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the thing which thou hast heard, which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What's the point? Hey, get your children saved. After leading them to the Lord, hey, teach them the Bible, right? Teach them the doctrines. And instill on them the fear of the Lord, that if they transgress against God, they will be punished. Amen. Right? Instill upon them the fear of the Lord, because that's how people depart from evil. Go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter number 1. So young people and children, maybe you are afraid that people will think you are weird because you go to church and that you believe the Bible. Well, Obadiah serving Ahab's house, and Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Obadiah feared the Lord from his youth, right? Maybe you're afraid to tell your friends that something is wrong because you don't want to lose your friends. Well, Obadiah risked far more than popularity. He risked far more than friendships. Maybe you are in a group chat where people are sending filthy pictures, gossips, or saying things you know are wrong. You don't have to participate just to fit in. Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Don't let the people and your surrounding determine what kind of Christian you are going to be, right? Because we may not be able to control the environment, but we can decide that we are going to fear the Lord in that environment. Daniel chapter 1, look at verse 8. Daniel 1:8. A very powerful verse. Daniel 1:8. Daniel was in Babylon. He said this, Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel had a good mental game. He made a purpose in his mind that he's not going to sin, that he's not going to be defiled with the worldliness of Babylon, right? So make a choice. It starts in your head, right? Have a good mental game. Now go back to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. So I said point number one, Obadiah feared God in a wicked environment. Point number two, faithful men still have fears. Faithful men still have fears. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 5. The Bible says this, 1 Kings 18:5. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, And he knew him and fell on his face and said, Art thou then my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Don't miss the details here. Obadiah met Elijah, and Elijah asked Obadiah to tell his Lord Ahab that Elijah was there. That's why Ahab said this in that's why Obadiah said this in verse number 9. And he said, what have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? Obadiah was essentially saying that, do you realize what you're asking me to do? You're going to get me killed, right? You know, what have I sinned that you're asking me to do this thing? And in verse number 10, Obadiah continued, as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whether I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. So Obadiah was essentially saying this, that Ahab has searched everywhere for you, Elijah. What if I tell him I have found you, and then the Spirit of the Lord just carries you somewhere else? Then Ahab is going to kill me because you were not here, right? That's what he's saying here. Look at verse 13. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. So Obadiah was saying this, that haven't you heard what I did? When Jezebel was killing the prophets, I hid 100 of them, and I kept them alive. I even feared the Lord from my youth. Right? Why would you now send me into a situation where Ahab is going to kill me? So Obadiah was, you know, essentially pleading to Elijah so he didn't have to tell Ahab that Elijah was here. Obadiah was saying that I have already put my life on the line for the Lord by hiding those prophets. And now you are asking me to tell Ahab that you are here. He's going to kill me. So I believe Obadiah was a little scared here. Ahab could blame him for having contact with Elijah, and he feared that if Elijah disappeared before Ahab arrived, Ahab would think that Obadiah had lied to him and that he would be killed. Okay? Essentially, that's the storyline. And yet, that's the same person whom the author says he feared the Lord greatly. Here's my point. Faithful men still have fears. Faithful men can still have fears. Keep a place in 1 Kings chapter 18. Go to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter number 7. Here's the truth. A faithful Christian can be afraid. A faithful Christian can understand the danger. A faithful Christian can recognize the consequences. Obadiah wasn't ignorant of what could happen. Let me just show you a story of Gideon. Okay? Now, Gideon was facing the army of the Midianites who were, Gideon were way outnumbered, right? You know, the armies of the Gideonites and, the armies of the Midianites and the Amalekites, they are way more in number than the children of Israel. Judges chapter 7, look at verse number 9. Judges 7 verse 9 says this, and it came to pass the same night, that the Lord said unto him, Gideon, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. So God told Gideon to, get yourself down to the host of the enemy, right? But then he said in verse number 10, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host. So God told Gideon to get yourself down, but if you're afraid, take Phurah with you. Okay? To me, that's why you should be at church as many times as you can. You know, the Baptist has a midweek service, and I think it's great, because the Bible says we should, you know, exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, because we all need a support group. If you're afraid, hey, take your sword and fura, right? If you're afraid, hey, talk to one of us. That's why we should develop godly friendships. Because when you are afraid, when you have doubts in you, you can talk to them and get help. That's why you should let me know if you have any spiritual questions or concerns, because I'm here to help. If you don't let me know, then I don't know how to help you, right? We all need a support group. We all need a fura in our life. Because as humans, we all can be afraid from time to time. So let's see what Gideon did. Look at verse number 11, Judges 7, 11. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then when he done with Phura, his servant, don't miss a detail here, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. Do you know what verse 11 tells me? That Gideon was afraid? Because he took Phura with him. Gideon had some doubts. But what did Gideon do when he was afraid? He went down anyway. Yeah. He obeyed anyway. And that's exactly what Obadiah did. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. To me, it's kind of interesting that God told Gideon to go down, but God told Gideon, if you're afraid, take Phura, but go down anyway, right? And, you know, Gideon was afraid, so he took his servant Phura and went down, which, you know, lead up to a great victory. 1 Kings chapter 18, look at verse 15. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 15 says this. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So, the prophet Elijah reassured Obadiah that he would be there to meet Ahab. So Elijah gave Obadiah the assurance. In verse 16, the Bible says, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. That is faith, right? To me, you know, faith doesn't mean that we never see the danger. Faith means that the danger doesn't determine whether you obey God or not. Obadiah expressed his concern. What if you left? Right? Elijah reassured him, and he went to tell Ahab by faith. That's why, you know, we all have fearful things happen to us. There's nothing wrong, because we all get afraid from time to time, but don't produce the spirit of fear, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Just like nothing wrong with having bitter things happen to you, but don't let the root of bitterness spring up. Right. Right? David said this in Psalm 56, verse number 3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Notice David didn't say, I'm never afraid. David said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Because fear can be a natural response when something fearful is happening, right? You know, when you walk through a dark alley, yeah, you will be afraid. There's nothing wrong with having fearful things happen to you. The issue is what you do with the fear. David did this. I will trust in thee. Amen? So Obadiah, I believe he definitely experienced fear. The fear didn't control him, right? Obadiah recognized the danger, and Obadiah, he fully understood the consequences. He knew Ahab could kill him. He even voiced those concerns to the prophet Elijah, but after Elijah reassured him, he went to meet Ahab and told him that Elijah was there. That's why, like I said, having a support group matters, because we can reassure you. Going to church can reassure you. Reading the Bible can reassure you, right? So you can obey by faith. So you may be afraid of losing your job. Maybe your boss asked you to lie or cheat or do something that's against your conviction. And you fully understand that by refusing him, there could be consequences, right? You could lose your job. Hey, there's nothing wrong with recognizing the consequence, but don't let fear But don't let fear determine your obedience to God. Right? David said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, maybe you're afraid to share the gospel. Maybe your heart starts beating faster when you knock on someone's door or talking to your relatives or like coworkers. But being nervous doesn't mean that you are unfaithful. Obadiah was afraid, but he went anyway. Amen. So again, there's nothing wrong with having fearful things happen to you, but just still obey by faith, right? Because the whole point is, faithful men can still have fears. You know, faith isn't saying that nothing bad will happen. Faith is, even if something bad happens, I'm still going to do what is right. So get help, right? Get reassurance, be in church, ask people to pray for you, and do what is right regardless of the consequences. 1 Kings chapter 18. So I said point number one. Obadiah feared God in a wicked environment. Point number two. Faithful men still have fears. Point number three. That's my last point. 3 point and a point. No, there's no point today. Point number three. Don't despise being the Obadiah. Don't despise being the Obadiah. Look at verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Notice the flow of this story. Because Obadiah went and told Ahab where Elijah was, Ahab met Elijah, and Elijah challenged Ahab to gather all Israel and the prophets of Baal onto Mount Carmel, and we have the epic showdown that I talked about in the beginning of the sermon, right? Now, of course, Ahab could have encountered Elijah another way, you know, if God had so chose. So I'm not going to say that Mount Carmel could have never happened without Obadiah, but the Bible here showed us that God used Obadiah's obedience as a link that set Mount Carmel in motion. Because the truth is, sometimes you have no idea what God is going to do with one simple act of obedience. Obadiah didn't call fire down from heaven. Obadiah didn't stand against all those prophets of Baal. Obadiah did not pray over those sacrifices. Obadiah wasn't standing at the spotlight on Mount Carmel. All Obadiah did was go and tell Ahab that Elijah, you know, was there. But God used that act of obedience as part of something that will cause the entire nation to cry out, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. What an amazing character, right? Because not everybody gets to call down fire. Somebody has to deliver the message. Somebody has to hide those prophets. Somebody has to bring the bread and water. Somebody has to do those seemingly small jobs. And you may never know what God will eventually accomplish through one small act of obedience. So the point is, don't despise being the Obadiah. Everybody wants to be Elijah on Mount Carmel. But are you willing to be an Obadiah? You know, we noticed the preacher, right? But God noticed the person who helped make the preaching possible, right? The ushers that greet the people, Brother Matt, who sets up the live stream and sound, right? Now, because everyone noticed me and my outrageous clothing today. But, you know, God noticed the people behind it to, you know, make this possible. Amen.
We notice the great victory. You know, we noticed 51 salvations at Purdue 2 weeks ago. But God notices all the little acts of faithfulness leading up to it. God noticed every single effort of the soul winners, right? You know, people may notice the fire falling down from heaven, but God noticed a man carrying bread and water into a cave. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter number 6. And don't miss that 100 prophets that Obadiah hid. They survived because somebody feared God enough to act. And who knew what great things those prophets have accomplished? The Bible didn't tell us that, but I would think they have accomplished something because Obadiah hid them and saved their lives. Amen. And, you know, I mean, the simple lesson of being faithful is faithfulness doesn't require you to know the outcome, right? Maybe you invite somebody to a church, and that somebody will one day become the next zealous soul winner. Maybe you give someone the gospel and that somebody will be the next song leader or, you know, usher or like whoever, right? Maybe you just encourage someone with one Bible verse and that verse helps him with the rest of his life by faith. Maybe you encourage a young man to preach and one day that young man will become the pastor of a church, right? Maybe you give somebody a ride to church. Maybe that person will get saved, baptized, and plug into the church. Now you might think, you know, what Obadiah did wasn't very significant. You know, clean the bathrooms, vacuuming the floor, opening the door for people, changing the water, picking up the trash, reading the Bible before the sermon may seem insignificant. Well, neither did carrying a message from Elijah to Ahab. But that message led directly to Mount Carmel, right? So don't despise being the Obadiah. If you are at this church, you know, if you consider yourself a member of this church, hey, back me up. Back each other up, right? Because you may not be the leader of, you know, of this church or even at your job, but you can be an Obadiah. Right. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, we'll have verse number 9. Galatians 6, 9 says this. The Bible says this. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 9 is pretty powerful because sometimes we don't immediately see what our faithfulness is accomplishing. But the Bible is teaching us that, hey, don't quit just because you can't see the harvest yet. Because in due season you shall reap. Amen. Right? You know, faithfulness is doing things, doing the right things without realizing, you know, what that may accomplish. So I said point number one, Obadiah feared God in a wicked environment. Point number two, faithful men still have fears. Point number three, don't despise being the Obadiah. So everybody remembers the fire, right? You know, we see the showdown of Mount Carmel, but just remember that before the fire fell, Obadiah went. Obadiah obeyed. Before the nation assembled to, you know, witness this epic showdown, Obadiah went. Before the prophets of Baal were being confronted, Obadiah went. Before Israel cried out, "The Lord, He is the God," Obadiah went. Maybe you will never be the Elijah for the rest of your life. Maybe nobody will ever remember your name. Maybe what God has given you to do seems small, but do it anyway. Fear the Lord greatly, right? Serve God wherever He has placed you. Help God's people whenever you have the opportunity, and obey even when you are afraid to do what's right. And be faithful in the supporting role. Because you never know when the small thing God has given you to do is one link in the chain leading up to somebody else's Mount Carmel. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for being an awesome God. Lord, I pray that this sermon will encourage your people to serve you, to obey you, despite of the consequences, I pray that they will choose to trust in you when they are being afraid. I pray that you'll strengthen their faith and help us as a church to grow. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Amen. Last song is going to be song 397, Little Is Much When God Is In It. Song 397 in your hymn books. 397, Little Is Much When God Is In It. On the first. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. All right, good singing, Brother Wade. If you please close out with a word of prayer.
Amen. You are